Paul, our preacher for the morning. It's printed in your bulletin, John 10, famous passage, some wonderful images. If you want to read along, great. If you just want to close your eyes, great. Either way, let's listen for God's word and what God is saying to us through the Spirit. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So, again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. And all who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Life is the issue, and life is the central concern of God, which is all the more reason I'm so glad this morning to get to introduce you again, for many of us, to Paul Mashangwa. Paul is a brother from Zimbabwe. I think we knew each other, Paul, since maybe 18, almost 20 years ago now. First time you came here, and then about 12 years ago, I went there. We're pushing a truck up a hill that had run out of gas. That's one of my favorite pictures at the top there. It was a truck that had run out of gas, so we pushed it uphill for about a mile and a half. I think Paul was the only one smiling. But that's why I love this picture, because I can't think of Paul without smiling. I can't think of Paul without smiling, partly because he's always smiling. There is a vibrancy to Paul. There is a resiliency to Paul. There is a joyousness to Paul. There is a generosity of spirit to Paul. So he makes everybody else smile too. Paul is coming to us from Zimbabwe. He was here in our presbytery for several years on staff, while his wife Lydia was completing her education, and has since gone back, and they are in the southern part of Zimbabwe. You hear a lot about Zimbabwe around here because of our connections, and Paul is easily one of the most joyous connections we have. I can say without hesitation that Paul is one of the finest men I know. And it is your generosity, it is your courage, it is the life and vibrancy that pours out of you. God truly works in and through you. And I am so pleased that you get to be here today and we get to share worship today. Paul, my brother. No, you're not on. It'll be a short.
So, you know, it's a great joy to be introduced so warmly. You know, and I was misquoted there. I was that picture. I think you know, this, that's strange. I was pushing like everybody else. Wow. You know, I was sitting there and listening to Russ and just thinking, it is so awesome to be in a place where you are welcome warmly like this. Because not too long ago, I went to the American embassy to get a visa to come here. And it was tough, because there's an angry face that says to you, why do you want to go to America? And you give your answer and you pray. that they will say it's good enough for you to go. I was fortunate. They said it was good enough. They granted me the visa. Shortly after that, my wife went to apply for a visa, and they said, why do you want to go to America? And she explained, and they said, no, it's not good enough. You can't go to America. Never mind that she studied here, she lived here, but they are suspicious that if she comes to the States, she will not want to go back. So, and when you come in, I got in through Washington, and you come in, and they are asking you, first you put your visa through those machines there, and they ask you questions, you answer them, and you go to the officer, and he has this stern look on his face. And why are you here? And you explain again. And then he checks on a few other things. But when he says, okay, you can proceed, you say, thank you, Lord, you know, I am here. So when you come here and you're welcome warmly, you feel like, okay, maybe I have a purpose for being here. Maybe I have a purpose. And the passage that we read today from John's Gospel, Jesus says there's a reason why he came. And like the officials that issue visas and decide whether to give visas or not, some of us will say, no, Jesus, I hear why you say you came, but it's not good enough for me. Others will say, you're welcome. And they warmly receive him. So I wasn't intending to introduce the sermon this way, but you know, when you just said, I thought, sure, isn't this what it's about? That how do we receive this person, this one who has come to be in our midst? Do we believe that his purpose is good enough? Or do we believe that no, we are good enough without him in our lives? Did you listen carefully to that reading? Did you get it? Did you listen when he said that those who come in by me are saved? They come in, they go out, and they find pasture. They go out and they find pasture because I came that they may have life. The only challenge in life is sometimes what we believe we've found to be pasture is not really pasture. Sometimes he comes and he says, I came for this purpose. And he says, you come in, you go out by me and find pasture. But sometimes what we think is pasture is not really the pasture that gives us life and its fullness. So there is lots of emptiness. That, you know, let me relate to how nations operate. Let me relate to this nation, the United States. We all in the rest of the world are fascinated by your desire to make America great again. And you know, it's fascinating because we're watching to see what that actually means. And we are, at the moment, some of us, like me, we are still surprised. But we hope and pray that the greatness that you hope to achieve would be truly great. Because like pastor also, in life, there's always a temptation to pursue something, to assume that what I have found now is pastor, when, and then you eat it. You know, like the food that is in abundance in America, sometimes you eat it, and the doctors will tell you it's not making you healthy. Some of that food that you're eating is not making you healthy. You know what I'm talking about, right? That not everything that we eat makes us healthy. So when Jesus says, I came that they may have life, because when they come in by me and go out, they find pasture in me. We also need to say, but this pasture that Jesus is talking about, that gives life in its abundance, this greatness that we all aspire to have, what is it? What is this greatness? What is this life and its abundance? And I don't want to presume to come here and define it for you, to say, look, this is all I'm trying to say to you is just ensure that the food you are taking in is nutritious and it helps your health. Because there is a danger that sometimes, Jesus is telling us, there is a danger that sometimes you receive or you come to somebody, but this somebody you're coming to is actually a thief who wants to steal from you, who wants to kill and to destroy what should make your life whole. But if you come in by him, Jesus, then he gives you life in its fullness. So we need to, you know, sometimes people think that, you know, things are going well. Life is good. Our nation is becoming great. My life is wonderful. Sometimes there is a danger. There is a danger because, you know, it is Jesus who tells us that other story. You know, there's a story of this man. He tells us, he says, there's this man who was very successful by any measure you can think of. And this man was doing so well. In this particular season, his fields produced so much food. This man didn't know what to do with it. You remember that story? Jesus says, then he said, oh, even my storehouses are too small now. He pulled them down and built new ones, bigger ones. And he filled them up. And then Jesus tells us, then he speaks to himself. To himself. And he says, you are great. Things are wonderful for you. Now eat, rejoice, be merry. Because what can go wrong? And Jesus says, the God who made all these crops grow, the God who made him be where he is, the God who made everything look good in his eyes, comes to this man and says, you fool. Today, your life that actually is in my hands, I'm taking it. You know that story, right? It's recorded in Luke. When Jesus says He came that they may have life and have it in abundance. He obviously knew, you know, even the story that he told, he obviously knew that there is a temptation for people to lose life to the thief, to lose life to this one who steals and gives the impression that all is well. Because when obviously, when you have things surrounding you, when you have things in your name, when you have resources, when you are so wealthy, and you talk to yourself, not to anybody else around you, you tell yourself that, no, you know, I am the greatest. All is well with me. Jesus says, you are that fool that we hear about in Psalm 14, verse 1. A fool who says in his heart, there is no God. So I determine the way I live my life. I don't care what God says about how I live my life. In fact, I do not care to follow God. You know, my friends, Jesus, in this picture that he, you know, he tells a story, and John tells us those who were listening to him didn't even understand what he is talking about. They didn't understand what he was talking about, you know? So many times when I've tried to preach, Russ, and people say, oh, we don't understand what you are talking about. I say, I'm not the first one. I mean, Jesus once said things and they didn't understand what he was talking about. You know, he uses these analogies, these pictures, for them to understand. And when he's explaining, he is trying to say to them, you know, your God who created you as I come, I have one desire, that you have life. I have a desire not to benefit from you. You know, this is what the officials of the American embassy in Zimbabwe are worried about, that I'm trying to come here and benefit from unfairly from this great nation. This is the worry. And this is, Jesus says, this is what the thief does. The thief does not think about your good, about you. He needs to steal from you. He needs something from you. But your God who created you, actually, you need him. You need him because there is nothing more that you can put in him to make him any more God than he is. But because he is God who creates, by nature he wants to ensure that what he has created is living in its fullness. He has life in its fullness because he is a life giver. And he says, in order to do that, in order for you to realize that, there is at least two things that he says, two things that happen. He wants to spend time with his sheep. So he comes. He comes to us to spend time with us so that we know his voice. You know when if my wife calls out and speaks and says something, even if I was in a crowd, I can pick out her voice. I can tell that is my Lydia speaking. Because of the relationship I have with him. Because with her. Because we spend time. I know her voice. And Jesus says, you know, they know my voice. Those who come in by me, they know my voice. This is very critical, that we get to know the voice of our God. The voice of the one who created the universe, the one who created the world, the one who created even this great nation as part of the world. We get to know his voice so that when he speaks, we are able to say, yes, here is the voice of the one who wants to give me life. One of the dangers, Russ, that we've been experiencing, I don't know about you here, you know, I've been gone for a while, we've been experiencing is that sometimes people in the church become experts of knowing the voice of the evil one. They say they know what Satan is doing. They know what Satan is saying. They know that Satan over there, they know about the evil one. Jesus actually says, when you have life and you are about promoting life, your desire is to know the voice of God. When you go into this broken world, this troubled world, where people are yearning to have that which God is yearning to give them, God says, you go into this world, you must be a person who knows what God is saying. But sometimes I meet lots of Christians who are so worried, and they are perfect at knowing what the devil is saying and what the devil is doing, and they don't do anything else. They'll be telling you to be careful about this, be careful about that, because you know, that's the devil who's doing this, that's the devil who's saying that. And you say to them, but what is God saying? Is God speaking? Is God doing anything? Do you hear anything that God is saying? Because he says, here is the second thing. When they know the voice of their God, the voice of their shepherd goes in, he goes out, he calls them. They follow him. Sometimes we are paralyzed and we don't do what God wants us to do. And so our lives are not full because we just don't follow the voice of our God. We're so paralyzed, we hear all these negative voices. One of the experiences that you get when I first moved to America I was here for 5 years. When I first moved to America, and I was home, I'm working on my computer, and suddenly something comes there, a message that says, Paul Neshangwe, you've been pre-screened to get this credit card, and this person, this email comes to me, the person knows my name, they know all these things. And not only that, the phone rings, and I go and answer the phone, and someone there says, hey, may I speak to Paul Neshangwe? And I was like, hello? I have no idea who it is, but they know about me, and they want to offer me this great opportunity. You can't miss this great opportunity. And I'm like, where do you know me from? Of course, you soon learn that, you know, there are all these people here out there that want to take from you. But their voices, they even use your name. Their voices are not so good. Then you have a choice. Do I keep using the technology, the computers? Do I keep using the phone? If someone out there is about to steal from me, they can steal my identity documents, they can steal my information, so do I still use a credit card when this can happen? And there's so many warnings out there. So you become paralyzed sometimes if you're not careful. You become paralyzed and you say, I can't use it anymore. Or do you become a person that says, I want to know the genuine message, the genuine voice. I want to know the right voice so that I can tell when the fake one is coming. And I will follow the one that is genuine. You see, Christians, I've come all the way from Zimbabwe to encourage you. There's some things that God is saying about your life because he wants you to have life in its abundance. And he wants you to have the boldness to follow your shepherd when you hear your shepherd speak, when you know his voice, to follow and do what it is he says you should do. Don't be paralyzed by the fear that there are thieves out there. So Jesus tells us, yeah, the thief is there. You must know what the thief wants to do. But the most important thing is to know why Jesus came, that they may have life and have it in abundance. But do you have that life in abundance? Isaiah, earlier on, it said maybe, and these people listening to Jesus knew about Isaiah saying to them, God says, come to me, come and drink. All you who are thirsty, come and drink real water. Why do you spend your money on that which is not food when I want to give you real food? Yeah, that's Isaiah records this in chapter 55. He says, God says, there is that which is real food and that which is not. Come and get the real food. And what I've been encouraged, what I've been sent here to share with you is seek the real food from God and have life in abundance. As a church, as a congregation, have life in abundance. As an individual in your life, you have life in abundance. That's why Jesus came. Grant him the visa in your life. So and let him give you the life that you need. Because if you're not careful, there is a thief that will steal from you. You know, the life that he wants us to have, the life of joy that he wants us to have. Not joy that is influenced by circumstances around you, but joy that is the inner joy that comes from knowing that before I was conceived in my mother's womb, he knew me and he put me together. And he says there's a purpose why I am here. And he says, if you follow me, I will show you that purpose. And when you find that purpose, you will experience this life in its fullness. You will have, I'll always be feeding you. You will find pasture with this God. And that joy that he says he wants to give us. And that peace, you know, the apostle writes and says to us, he gives us this peace that passes all understanding. The circumstances, you know, I come from Zimbabwe. Those of you who follow the new world news and understand, we are the one country where we never get old in Zimbabwe. Our president is over 93 now, you know. And next year when we have elections, you would like to contest again because we never get old, you know. And because of that, we have certain issues that are troubling us as a country. And this is why your officials in your embassies will look at my wife and say, no, we don't want you to go to the States because we know things are so miserable here. You will want to rush back to the States. And my wife says, you know what? I was there for 5 years and I came back to Zimbabwe. I will come back. And then they say, no, because you studied in the States, please apply for a religious worker visa because you get opportunities to go and preach there because you studied in the States. You apply for a religious worker visa, not this visa that you want. And my wife says, I don't want to go and work in the States. Somehow, in this miserable Zimbabwe situation that we are in, this God gives me peace that passes all understanding. You won't understand it. He gives me this peace that is incredible. That comes from knowing that one, there's a purpose why he made me. And number two, I'm not alone. There are people around me that when I connect with them, my life is nourished. The thief comes and says to you, be afraid of them. And he steals your joy. You know, when I make friends with Russ, who looks different from me, who has a different culture from me, different, he says to me, why do you do that? And I have to think, oh, this is why I do this. And then he says, no, we do it differently. And we enrich one another. The thief comes and says to you, avoid Russ because he looks different. And the joy that you could find from developing together is stolen from you. But Jesus came that we may have life and have it in abundance. And Jesus offers that life. Every day I wake up, he says, Paul, I came that you may have life in abundance. But there are situations that are troubling me. He says, listen to my voice. When you listen to my voice, follow me, because I go before you. If any trouble comes, I'm in front of you, leading you. What a joy. What a joy. I mean, this is why we should rejoice. I mean, we have this God who says, Russ, there's nothing that you will ever experience that I don't know about. So Jesus says, before I came to America, he says, okay, there may be temptations here. This one, Paul, you will handle. I've given you the power to handle this. This one will be too much for you. So he avoids letting it, because he won't let you be tempted beyond what you can handle, right? And then even when you are tempted, when the burden comes your way, he says, you will give us a way out to handle that burden. I just came today to say, like you, I love this Jesus. Let's pray. You know, Lord, sometimes things don't even make sense to us because there are so many noises. Sometimes we don't put the words right. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that was read to us. Help us, Lord. Help us as we understand that word, to do what your word tells us to do. Help us, Lord, as you feed us. For today we come in this communion and you will feed us. Help us to receive with joy your feeding, that we may have life in abundance. Amen.